Welcome, everyone, to Courtside, a discussion of legal issues once a week. And it's so nice. We're not going to talk about that loser, Donald Trump, anymore, that impeached two-time loser, Donald Trump. There are two things on my mind this week: immigration reform and attempts to stop people from voting. So we'll talk about each. First, on immigration, President Biden has developed a plan which includes a path to citizenship for most undocumented immigrants and reforms to legal immigration. There are 11 million approximately undocumented immigrants living in the United States. They're living in the shadows. It's a scary existence for them. They're at the margins of our society. The Biden plan says that after any of these folks pass background checks and pay taxes, they'd be allowed to live in the United States and work in the United States for 5 years. After that, they'd be allowed to apply for a green card with the possibility of winning citizenship after 3 more years. The plan also would strengthen protections for immigrant workers by helping to ensure that victims of serious labor violations would receive visas, which protects those who face, you know, workplace retaliation from deportation. And it also set up a commission to discuss kind of how to make improvements to the employment verification process and things like that. And I've been thinking a lot about immigration because on Tuesday, I'm going to be arguing a Supreme Court case about immigration and about the rights of people who are facing deportation and making asylum claims and things like that. And, you know, this is interesting because it's a pretty tough position, a hard line position that the government has taken. They took it in the Trump administration. The Biden administration hasn't really changed substantially a lot of the position. And I think it illustrates one thing that I want everyone to be thinking about, which is, of course, we've had a massive change with the Biden administration from Trump. But Trump's decisions are going to have long tails, and there's going to be consequences for years, if not decades, to come. And some of it will play out in courts, some of it will play out with America's reputation and other things. But it is, you know, a striking thing that, you know, I know some people, particularly those who think a lot about immigrants' rights, were hoping for, you know, a massive sea change. And I'm still hopeful that that will happen, but it is going to take some time. There's stuff in the Biden plan on immigration, which is looks symbolic, but it's also really important. Like, just take terminology. You know, the bill, you know, changes the rhetoric. It substitutes not the word non-citizen for the word alien in federal immigration laws. And while that may not seem like a big deal to many of you, I can just tell you, I remember growing up as a kid and my mom having to go in the alien line at the customs and things like that. It is weird. So I think, you know, yes, it's subtle, but I think it's an important change. There's also other stuff in there, like in the Biden plan. For example, it has a provision in there that prevents a president from issuing a categorical bar on immigration or a ban on immigration. And you know what that's about. That's about Trump's most ill-fated, horrible decision, the Muslim ban, which I've talked about in a previous Courtside. Now, the Democrats, I think, face an uphill battle in getting the Biden plan passed, excuse me. Stephen Miller went on Fox News to denounce the bill, which to me is an automatic indication that it must be a good idea. It's not that the Senate doesn't have 50 votes to pass it. They do. And the House certainly has an overwhelming majority to pass it. The problem is something called the filibuster. And I think most of you know what this is, but this requires 60 votes to pass something in the Senate, not 50. It's a matter of Senate rule and custom, and it's, you know, served salutary purposes in the past. But I have to say, this, you know, is outdated at this point. I mean, the filibuster made sense when people had to stand up in the Senate and literally talk and talk and talk to delay consideration of a bill, and you needed 60 votes to stop that particular senator from talking. But now it's just like, you know, the video game version. You just press a button and say, hey, I'm filibustering, and it doesn't require any more effort than that. And it goes on and on forever. And so we effectively have a supermajority requirement in the Senate for everything. You know, for the most important stuff Trump did, like putting Supreme Court nominees through, he blew off the filibuster. So I don't understand, on something that literally is life and death and goes to the soul of what America is, like this immigration thing, this immigration plan, why we should be hostage to 50 votes. I mean, President Reagan, after all, you know, was the last person to pass such sweeping immigration reforms. And I think, you know, that legacy is something that I think Democrats should build on. And look, we didn't hear a peep when Donald Trump pardoned his inner circle for fleecing his own reporters and all this other stuff that they did. But Republicans are now dismissing a path to citizenship for people who have literally spent decades living here, not breaking the laws about crime and so on and working hard and like, and they call that an unacceptable amnesty. That's not a double standard. That's a split personality among these folks. So I'm hopeful here. This other thing I want to talk about, which I'm less hopeful about, but I do think that there's a way forward, is about voter suppression. And state legislatures now are introducing a slew of bills to take the right to vote away from people, to make it harder. Can you believe over 100 bills have been introduced since the November election, making it harder for people to vote? They're putting limits on things like who can vote by mail. They're imposing really strict photo ID laws. They're making really aggressive voter purge policies and the like. And ironically, all these legislatures are using the big lie about the November election as justification, which, if anything, you know, the fact that it was closer than it should have been just demonstrates the amount of suppression that already happened. You know, but in any event, these folks are saying, well, there's undermined confidence in voting, so we need to pass all these crazy reforms. You know, if you really care about confidence in voting, how about just get the big loser to stop lying about the fact that he lost? But in any event, I missed the 2 weeks after January 6th when it seemed like Republican officials had learned their lesson about the consequences of spreading lies about their own elections. But unfortunately, we're seeing bill after bill introduced, including in battleground states, targeting things like absentee voting in places like Pennsylvania and Arizona. So in Arizona, for example, a legislator introduced a bill that would remove voters who failed to vote in the prior 4 years and who failed to respond to a notice. Mississippi is considering a similar bill. In Georgia, the bill is requiring a driver's license number when requesting an absentee ballot. I mean, I don't know my driver's license number. There's another bill in Georgia that makes it illegal to give people food and drink while they're waiting, you know, for many hours to vote in the voting lines. So there's all sorts of shenanigans that these states are considering. And really nothing demonstrates the Republican allergy to facts like their eagerness to go round two against Stacey Abrams and Mark Elias. But I think we need to give Mark, Stacey, people like that some help. It is ridiculous that we've got to wait for people like Mark to file lawsuits going into court after court just to ensure the right to vote. In particular, we need a solution. And it's modeled on the 1965 Voting Rights Act. And that was a law that I had the honor of defending in the Supreme Court. And I won that 8-1 in 2009, the idea that the Voting Rights Act was upheld as constitutional only 4 years later to have it struck down by the Supreme Court 5-4. So here's what the Voting Rights Act of 1965 did, is it said for 16 jurisdictions that were really horrible in taking the right to people away to vote, they had to pre-clear any changes they made to voting with either a court or the Justice Department in Washington, D.C. And the reason why they did it that way is because they knew that these largely southern states were really subtle and careful and crafty in the way they would disenfranchise African Americans. They would like change the polling place the day before and only tell certain people, or they'd change the hours to make it, you know, the hours that were inconvenient for minorities to vote. All sorts of subtle stuff that had a regressive effect. And so the Voting Rights Act said, look, you have the right to make those changes so long as they're not regressive, and those changes can't go into effect unless they are pre-cleared by the Justice Department or by a federal court. Well, that was the law for many years, and it worked incredibly well. Indeed, the Voting Rights Act passed unanimously the re-extension in 2006, 98-0 in the Senate. This was not controversial. The Supreme Court, unfortunately, in 2013, made it controversial, striking it down 5-4 on something they called the equal footing doctrine, that some states can't be treated differently than others. If you have never heard of that doctrine and don't see it in the Constitution, there's a good reason for that. It's not. But unfortunately, five justices saw it differently, and so the Voting Rights Act was struck down. Now, there is a solution. Just make the preclearance requirements available to everyone, every state, every jurisdiction, before changing their voting rules has to get preclearance. That's simple, obvious, easy to do, and frankly, deeply needed. And that act is actually pending in Congress right now, and it's called the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. Today is John Lewis's 81st birthday, St. John. I'm thinking of him. I'm thinking about him reflecting the spirit of what this nation is all about. And I hope all of you watching this push hard for Congress to authorize immediately the John Lewis Voting Rights Act of 2021. I'll see you next week.